All right. Open your Bibles, please, this morning to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Lopsided crowd you are this morning. All the children left. Now this side is empty. Man. Spara, I almost got one person on each row anyway. But I'm going to ask you to stand, and we'll begin reading in verse 16, Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Let's leave off reading there this morning. Preach to you. Notice it says, verse 21, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. I want to talk to you about light and darkness. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that You would bless Your Word this morning. I do want to be a blessing and an encouragement, and I want to be Your mouthpiece, dear God. Please fill me, fill this place, our hearts, our minds, remove everything that would distract us this morning, please. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Light and darkness. I want you to understand there it says and that their foolish heart was darkened. I have a question for you this morning. I don't want you to answer it for me out loud, or it's more of a thought-provoking question. If a person dies never having heard about Jesus, will that person go to heaven or hell? If a person never hears even the name of Jesus, let alone a clear gospel presentation, will that person burn forever in a lake of fire? It's an honest question. It's one that's made many people question everything in the Bible. That one question. How is it possible? I mean, people live and die every day. Thousands and thousands of people that have never heard the gospel. They've never seen a gospel tract. They've never attended a church like this one. They've never met a preacher. They've never seen a missionary. They've never heard a gospel message preached. They live and they die thousands and thousands every day in that condition. All over the world. Some in our city, some in our nation. Are you telling me then that those people are going to go to hell? I mean, after all, what kind of God would do that? That's what I've heard people ask me. What kind of God would do that? Would God be so unfair to send those people to hell? That is unrighteous. That is unjust. That is unfair. What kind of God? That's not the kind of God I want to serve. That's what I hear. Let me tell you, first of all, what the Bible says point blank. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He that believeth not shall be damned. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Present tense. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by Him. That's what the Bible says. Now, the answer then is clear. Ignorance is not a Savior. Ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance is not an excuse. Ignorance never saved anybody. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in Acts chapter 17, the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Now all men, now, today, as we sit here today in 2015, all men are commanded to repent. You may have noticed some scripture out by the front sign that says something like that. When you came to church. Regardless, listen to me, hey, regardless of whether they've heard of Jesus or not. Now, I want you to stay with me this morning. All men, that includes remote villages of Africa. That includes deeply very communistic China. That includes the United States of America. That includes your neighbor. That includes my grandpa. That includes me and you. There are no exceptions to those Bible verses. Except a man be born again. God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. This morning I want to do something to help you help illustrate this point. I'm going to imagine a courtroom, okay? I'm not going to act it out for you. You have your own brains. I hope you brought them with you this morning. Yeah. We're going to put every single person who has never heard of Jesus Christ in a very large room. Because, by the way, there's going to be millions of them. We're going to put them in a very large room. And into that room, that courtroom, we're going to bring the most brilliant attorney that's ever lived. Now, this attorney is going to represent those millions of people, and he's going to argue their case against God. Are you listening to me this morning? He's going to argue their case against God. He's going to bring out the evidence that they have never heard of Jesus. They have never even heard that name. And there are millions of people like that. He's going to tell God that, God, you would be unfair, you would be unrighteous, you would be unjust if you sent these millions of people to hell. They've never even heard of Jesus that you demand that they hear of and believe on. You would be unrighteous and unfair, God, if these millions of people went to hell. That's what the attorney says. He sits down. He's made his case. He sits down. On the other side of the courtroom, we have the prosecuting attorney, the Apostle Paul. In Romans chapter 1, the verses that I just read to you is the Apostle Paul's argument. He states that he will prove, using the Bible, that God is not only fair, but that God would be unfair, God would be unjust, God would be unrighteous if he did not allow them to burn in hell. If he did not send them to hell, then God would literally be a liar. Not only would he be unfair, unrighteous, he would be an absolute, bold-faced liar if those people didn't go to hell. He's got to make his case. So he begins with his first witness. His first point of evidence, bringing his first witness, is this: all people have been given light. Stay with me this morning. Amen. John chapter 1 verse 9, don't turn there, says the true light, Jesus, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Right. That light, the Bible says in the book of Titus, that the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to every man. Amen. God did not leave anybody out. Everyone has been given light. The question then is to the Apostle Paul, the question is, where did this light come from? So Paul summons his first witness in verse 19 of Romans chapter 1. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him, God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they, who are they? Those people who have never heard the name of Jesus are without excuse.
Amen.
Their creation, Your Honor, is my first witness. God, Your creation itself. Your creation shows them that there is a Creator, because there cannot be a creation without a Creator. Yeah. Are you listening to me? Now follow along. Now I'm not entertaining you today by jumping around. I understand that. But you need to listen to the Holy Spirit this morning. No one has to go to church. No one has to hear a gospel message. No one has to hear about Jesus to walk outside either their grass hut or their ivory palace and see a creation.
Amen.
A creation
Amen.
Is there, and they are without excuse. They have been given light. Evolution, of course, has fought that light. Evolution was made famous. Evolution grew leaps and bounds and became a worldwide theory. And that's all it is a theory. By a man named Charles Darwin. Hey, listen to me. In the book of his book of The Origin of Species, he says himself 800 times, I suppose. A supposition is based on opinion. A supposition is based on what I might think. A supposition is not based on anything factual or firm or solid. It is a man's opinion.
Amen.
And over 800 times he says, I suppose. Listen to me. We have a book
Amen.
Written by a very different author who never says, I suppose.
Amen.
What God says is, I want you to know, K-N-O-W. He says, I would not have you ignorant, brethren. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, it is not a supposition, it is a fact. It is God's word.
Amen.
Amen. Evolutionists say, once I was a tadpole, long and thin. Then I was a bullfrog with my tail tucked in. Then I was a monkey hanging from a tree. Now I'm a professor at UNT. Hey, listen, they're believing that stuff. They're teaching that stuff. Do people really believe that? Hey, wait a minute, before you say, yeah, they do. No, you're wrong. According to the Bible, they don't. Verse 20 says, the invisible things of Him, God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. His eternal power, they know there is a Creator. They do not believe that junk. They choose to believe it. The Bible has one answer to evolution. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. That's the answer to the atheist. That's the answer to the evolutionist. God, listen to me, God is everywhere, and that is obvious. God is everywhere, and that is obvious, even to a child. A little boy was riding a train singing songs about God that he learned in Sunday school. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Jesus loves me. This I know. Anthony, you still sing those songs in your mom's car? You used to. Your mom used to tell me how you used to sing with Carmen and Carlos, Jesus loves me, as she was driving to the store, and how it just pierced her heart. I wonder, do you still sing those songs in your car? Little boy was singing these songs on the train, and the conductor heard him and said, son, if you show me where God is, I'll give you a big red apple. It's all yours. Boy, he's just a child. I mean, he walks away. Boy, I sure would like that apple. I'm hungry. That apple looked really good. Big and red and juicy and firm. Not soft. Not soggy, but firm, crunchy apples. So he walked away and he began to pray in simple childlike faith. And God gave him an answer. He walked back to that conductor and said, he said, sir, if you show me where God ain't, I'll give you a whole bushel of apples.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Amen.
Listen, that evolution junk, we have a God in heaven who has given us a creation that makes it very easy to see that there is a God in heaven who created it.
Amen. Amen.
Men believe in evolution because they choose to, because they want to, because they don't have to be accountable to a tadpole. They don't have to be accountable to their theories and their opinions. God is the authority, and they aren't. And if they admit that there's a creation, they have to admit that He's God and that He's in the authority. Listen to me. All men have been given the outward visible light of creation. No exceptions, and nowhere in the world can they not see that. Number two, Paul then makes a pretty good claim with that one. So that witness is dismissed. Second witness the Apostle Paul calls is Romans chapter 12, verse 14, man's conscience. Romans chapter 12, verse 14. When the Gentiles, which have not the law, Romans chapter 2. I hear you turning pages and I think, why are you turning pages? It's right there, Romans 2. Verse 14, I'm sorry. Brother DeCesar read 12 and I got 12 on the brain, I guess. Romans 2, verse 14. When the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the mean while accusing or else excusing one another. In other words, the Bible is saying that in man's heart, inside every man ever born, Jew or Gentile, in that heart lies what the Bible calls a conscience. Now, I know the Bible says a conscience can be seared, but you're not born like that. Man is not born with a seared conscience. I remember when I was a boy. I remember laying in my bed as a boy thinking, oh, I hope mom and dad never find out about that. What is that? That's a conscience.
Amen.
I remember as a boy laying in there and thinking, oh, I hope I get away with that. I hope the teacher never finds out about that. That didn't come from the devil. That's a God-given conscience.
Amen. That's right.
That's God put in you a conscience, knowing this. You know what that conscience is? That conscience is in you saying there's right and there's wrong, and you know the difference.
Amen.
That's light, folks.
That's right.
That's light. I've had so many people ask me, well, how do I know God's real? And that's, I go right there. I say, you know why? Because you know when you do something wrong. Who do you think tells you that? Satan? He loves for you to do everything wrong. He's the father of everything wrong. He's not going to give you a guilt trip about doing something wrong. That's God.
Amen.
That's God. That's your God-given conscience. Boy, you'll see their countenance change.
Yep.
Because they can't argue with it. Because everybody's got one and everybody's been where I'm talking about right now.
Amen.
Laying in bed thinking, oh, how long am I going to get away with this? Oh, no, what am I going to do? It's a conscience.
Amen.
You know, when I was a boy, I couldn't explain everything. I couldn't explain God. I couldn't explain creation. I couldn't explain Jesus and all of those things that we still can't explain. But even before I was saved, listen to me, I knew when I did something I wasn't supposed to do. And so did you. That's light. The Apostle Paul makes a case then with his two witnesses, and the defense attorney stands back up and says, well, wait a minute, Judge Almighty. Okay, so we've got the creation and we've got the conscience. That's the light, I understand that. But nowhere in the Bible does it say that knowing there's a creator is salvation. Nowhere in the Bible, God, in your word, does it say that having a guilt conscience is salvation. So therefore, we're still not understanding these millions of people going to hell. The arguments that the Apostle Paul has given us, Your Honor, are still inconclusive. The Bible plainly says over and over and over that Jesus is the only way. Therefore, these two witnesses are good, but they have not answered my question, what about these millions who've never heard of Jesus? As if God's chewing his fingernails. As if God's nervous. The Apostle Paul, knowing the Word of God, stands up and answers with his second argument. The first argument was, all men have been given light. The second argument is this: when you obey that light, God gives you more light.
Amen.
Romans chapter 1, verse 17, right there where we are. Therein, where? In the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed. Notice this next phrase: from faith to faith.
Amen.
From faith to faith. The Christian life, hey, listen to me, Christian. Your life is all about from faith to faith. It's a process. It's a step-by-step life from faith to faith to faith to faith to faith. You heard the gospel message. By faith you received it. You heard you needed to be baptized. The Word of God told you that. By faith you submitted yourself to baptism. By faith you heard you needed to be faithful to church. So you did what God said. And listen, each one of those things is a little bit more light. Each one of those was a little bit more light. You heard you're supposed to read your Bible. You heard God's Word is everything to you. Your strength, your shield, your fortress. You heard you were supposed to pray every day without ceasing. You heard you were supposed to give God 10% of your income because it all belongs to God anyway. You heard that there are missionaries around the world and God wants us to be a part of that, giving to those so they can go. And by faith, you heard what God said. And then if you follow that light, God gave you more light. Until you follow the light that you have, you'll not get more light. For example, in the book of Acts, there's a man named Cornelius. Let's turn back to Acts chapter 10. Let's look at it quickly. I can't read the whole account of it, but I can at least let you see a few verses. Acts chapter 10. There was a certain man, verse 1, in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. A devout man, Acts chapter 10, verse 2, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God alway. Boy, he sounds like a wonderful man. Sounds like a very religious man, and he was. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming unto him and saying unto him, Cornelius. When he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said to them, the prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial to God. Now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Now stop right there. Cornelius was an Italian Gentile. He was not a Jew. In Acts chapter 10, the gospel was still pretty much going to the Jews. The Apostle Paul had not left to go to the Gentiles yet. That didn't happen until Acts 13. So he is a Gentile Italian man, but he's been exposed to this Jesus. He's been exposed to the gospel preaching because you remember, those of you that are in Sunday school with me, the Jews were tearing it up in the city of Jerusalem. They were telling everybody, they were filling that city with their doctrine, which is, by the way, what we're supposed to be doing.
That's right.
This Gentile man, Cornelius, he had seen enough light. He knew that there was something out there. He knew that the creation was there. He knew in his conscience that there was a right and wrong, and there was something. So he began to pray. God gave him enough light. Listen to me. He began to pray and ask God for more. He began to follow the light. He began to follow the light. He feared God in verse 2, the Bible says. He gave money to the people. He prayed to God always. That is still not salvation. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
Remember, we're arguing the case. That there's no Jesus mentioned in here. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
So as God heard and saw that this man was walking in the light that he did have. He didn't have enough yet. But he was walking in the light that he did have. He was doing what God had showed him. Therefore, God sent Peter to his house. Peter preached Jesus, and he and his house got saved. That's because God gave him enough light, and when he obeyed that light, God gave him more light. And finally, he got to the place where he heard the name of Jesus Christ, and he and his whole house got saved.
Amen. That's right.
Look back in Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Let's look in verse 26. The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure. Notice, had come to Jerusalem for to worship. He's an African man from Ethiopia. He came over to Jerusalem, I should say up to Jerusalem, to worship. See, he too had been influenced by the light that God was shining in Jerusalem through that church.
Amen.
But he was an Ethiopian, he was not a Jew. The gospel had not got to Ethiopia yet, but he did have enough light to know he needed to go to Jerusalem and worship. He went to church. That's not salvation.
Amen.
He went to worship God. That's not salvation.
Amen. That's right.
But he was following the light that he had.
Amen.
And therefore, God said, Philip, go down to the desert because I'm going to give this Ethiopian more light. Are you listening to me? Look what it says here. He arose and went there in verse 28, was returning and sitting in his chariot. Verse 29, the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. The Spirit of God, listen, is the one that gives the light.
Amen.
Isn't that good?
Amen.
The Spirit of God said to Philip, Go down to that chariot, run there. And he ran thither in verse 30. And he said unto him, Understandest thou what thou readest? In other words, do you have enough light yet? He said in verse 31, no. He said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, and it was Isaiah 53. Let's jump over there. The Bible says in verse 34, the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of the other man? Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him, there it is, the name above all names, the salvation in Jesus Christ. There it is, church. He was following the light that he had, and God gave him enough light and to get him to Jesus.
Amen. That's right.
Isn't it beautiful how God works? Light obeyed increases light. Light obeyed gives more light. Light obedience to the Word of God, knowing what you do know, doing what you do know to do, will increase your light.
Amen.
Will give you more understanding. Will give you more light.
Amen.
Isn't that good?
That's right.
That's a blessing. Cornelius and this eunuch, they weren't saved. But they were walking in the light that they had. And God brought them enough light to where they did get saved.
Amen.
God is not willing that any should perish.
Yes,
right. And when somebody goes to hell, it is not God's fault.
Amen.
Light obeyed increases light. The Apostle Paul then makes his final concluding statement. He says, on the flip side of this is light, go back to Romans chapter 1, light disobeyed, because the question still remains, okay, well, what about these millions of people? How come they've never heard? How come God hasn't led them to the light of Jesus? And the final conclusion is this. Light disobeyed increases darkness. Let me say it again. Light disobeyed increases darkness. truth is disobeyed. The Bible is disobeyed. Your life will result in greater darkness than you ever were before. You need to get, now, you were just rejoicing a minute ago about the light that God gives. But God is not mocked.
Amen.
And when He gives light and you say, I don't think so. My friend, you're turning into darkness. Greater darkness than you've ever known.
Amen.
When truth and light are introduced through the creation and through the conscience, every person then has a choice. They have a choice. They follow that light. They follow what they know to be right. They follow the little bit that they do know. And therefore, they will walk in further and further and more light, or else they'll go into deeper darkness. Christian, listen to me. If you're saved today, this still applies to you. Therein, listen to me, is revealed the righteousness of God, revealed, shown to us, lit up the righteousness of God from faith to faith. The life of a Christian is the life of faith.
Amen.
It all started with faith. If you're saved today, say amen.
Amen.
That's because by faith you receive Jesus Christ.
Amen.
By faith in the Word of God. Now, anything else that you're going to go as far as increasing your life, growing as a Christian, being stronger, being more worthwhile, overcoming sin, victory in life, is going to be by faith.
Amen.
You walking in the light that you do have. You don't have to have the faith of the Apostle Paul right now, but you do have to walk in the faith that you do have.
Amen.
You don't have to have the faith of the preacher right now, but you do have to walk in the light that God has given you right now.
Amen.
Or darkness will be increased. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Turn over there with me. You've got Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, then 1 Thessalonians, then 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2. Some of the saddest scripture in the Bible, I think. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, see, there are people that do not get saved because they do not receive the message of salvation. For this cause, in chapter 2, verse 11, God, you see what that says? God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, who did not walk in that light, but had pleasure, notice, in unrighteousness. Listen to me, light leads us out of unrighteousness. Light leads us out of darkness. Light leads us away from sin. Light leads us away from iniquity. But when you choose not to follow light, it's not because you're choosing not to follow light, it's because you're choosing sin. Mark it down, Christian. Just because you're saved does not mean that you are almighty powerful over sin. It will suck you down and destroy you. Light will guide you out of sin. But listen, truth is not traded for error. Light is not traded for darkness. Light is traded for sin. 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 The Bible says plainly right here, the reason that they did not believe the light and follow the light is because they had pleasure in sin.
Yep.
People don't reject Jesus Christ because they don't know about it. They reject Jesus Christ because they love their sin. People don't give up on God and give up on growing and give up on Christians. Don't give up on church and walk out on God because they just can't follow the light. No, it's because they have too much pleasure in sin.
That's right. Amen.
There's an old proverb that says, even as a dog returneth to his vomit, so doth a saved man return to his sin. Oh, that's gross, preacher. Why is that any grosser than you going away from the light back into unrighteousness?
Amen.
Oh, I can never. Dogs, they go back and they eat what they vomited up. God says that's just as disgusting as you going back to sin.
Yep.
In His eyes. See, when you... Listen, God is not mocked, church.
Amen.
You're not brighter than He is.
That's right. That's right.
You're not going to find a loophole. You're not going to find it. And when you walk out and destroy your life and your family and Satan devours you and licks his chops and goes on down to the next one, it's because you chose to ignore the light.
Right.
It's not God's fault. It's never going to be.
Amen.
Never going to be. Truth is not traded for error. It's traded for unrighteousness. Fools don't reject light because they're fooled. They reject light because they prefer darkness. When light is rejected and disobeyed and scorned and scoffed and mocked, God sends darkness. That's God. Would God do that? Not until after you reject the light. You'll find a way to blame God. Everybody does. Just like everybody in prison over here is innocent. Every one of them is a victim. I've never talked to one of them that said, I am guilty of sin. Not one. They're all innocent. Are some innocent? It's very possible, very likely. Some have been dismissed after years. DNA and all that, I understand that. But you understand what I'm saying too. They're not. Those prisons aren't growing and building new prisons because people are so innocent. You have loved ones. I know. I see it in your eyes. I do too. They have been given light after light after light. And their pleasure in unrighteousness has led them darker and darker and darker. Don't you dare blame God.
Amen.
Don't you dare blame God.
Amen.
Or you're heading for darkness yourself.
Amen.
It's their fault. It's not God's fault.
Amen.
It's not this book's fault.
That's right.
It ain't your preacher's fault. It ain't your fault.
Amen.
It's their fault. They're following unrighteousness.
Amen.
They have pleasure in it. And God is not mocked. Sooner or later, the darkness is going to envelop them. Or you.
Yep.
Or me. If we do not walk in the light. Mr. Strongman, Mr. Fool of Yourself, you're not stronger than God.
Amen.
Sister self-righteous, you are not stronger than God.
Amen.
I want you to go back to Romans chapter 1 where we started and we're done. Verse 21. Right where we started. God, by the way, listen to me. God's going to give them light until Jesus comes. They still got the creation. They still have their conscience. They still have, listen, God has already given them light. Don't walk out of here blaming God.
Amen.
That's human nature. We find ways to blame God who's given us light, who's the only one that can give us light. And He's lighted every man that's ever come into this world. And we find a way to get mad at Him. Don't get mad at God. Don't get mad at anybody. Pray.
Amen.
And understand something. When they walk out, it's not your fault. It's not God's fault. It's not the preacher's fault. It's not the Bible's fault. They are choosing darkness. They've had light. They've been given to them. And they go back into darkness that's deeper than it ever was. That's what breaks our heart.
Amen.
And when you start missing church, you're turning from light to darkness.
Amen.
When you start making excuses that I'm too sick, or sickness is real, there's a lot of it going on right now, but there's a bunch of excuses too.
Amen.
A bunch of weak people just don't want to do right. They don't want to get up out of bed. And they're turning their own selves back into the darkness.
Yep.
The light is here.
Amen.
Here. And you're not here when the light is being shined here. You're turning to darkness.
Amen.
Mark it down, neighbor. You're no exception.
That's right, man.
I don't care what your excuse is. You're turning from light to darkness.
Amen.
You're no exception. I'm not either. Verse 21 of Romans chapter 1 says, because that when they knew God, they saw the light, they glorified Him not as God. Neither were thankful. They didn't even appreciate it. They trampled underfoot the cross of Calvary. They mocked and scorned at the blood of Christ. They were not even thankful that God would give His only begotten Son. That's what can happen to you and me. We see the light and we don't walk in it. We don't glorify God. We're not thankful. We become vain in our imaginations. We think that we know better. Are you kidding me? How foolish am I so many times? How foolish are we so many times? Wake up!
Amen.
You're not an exception. Neither am I. Their foolish heart, because of their disobedience, obeying the light, their foolish heart was darkened.
Yep.
Professing themselves to be wise, verse 22. They're standing in classrooms all over the world, all in universities. There's men standing in pulpits today that used to preach what I'm preaching. There are men standing today that used to be King James Bible, now they're whatever.
That's right.
Because they didn't want to walk in that light. You're no exception.
Amen.
Neither am I. When God gives you light, when He speaks to your heart, when He convicts your soul, follow the light.
Amen.
Walk in the light. When somebody that loves you tells you, you better get this right, follow the light!
Amen.
Or you're going to end up in darkness like you've never seen before.
Yep.
A man comes to church and he hears the gospel. He hears the light. He sees the light. He hears about heaven. He hears about hell. He hears about repentance. He hears about sin and Jesus and the blood of Christ and free gift and grace. But he doesn't want to give up his sin. So he goes home lost. Next week, there's a knock on his door. Two men show up. with Watchtower magazines.
And the Creator is blessed forever, amen.
And tell him there is no hell. There's no hell. They tell him, that Bible's not right. This is our Bible. He believes them. Now he's a faithful member of their cult. How do you think these cults are growing so fast, church?
Oh, yeah, man. That's right.
Light disobeyed increases darkness.
Yeah, man.
At one time, he was just an unbeliever, lost, unsaved, but he saw the light. He said, nope! And here came the darkness, and now he's consumed. Now he's walking in darkness like he never knew before. The deeper you are in darkness, the farther you are from the light. Why do those people get so many converts? God sends them strong delusion because they ignore the light. Men go to hell because they reject God's light. The Apostle Paul sits down. Case closed. The millions and millions all over the world, yes, they will go to hell. But they've been given enough light. And if they'll walk in that light, God will send them a missionary.
Yeah,
God will send them a soul winner.
Yes.
God will do something to
yeah,
get them to Jesus.
Yeah.
It's not God's fault.
Come on.
Yeah, and when you walk out on God, listen, you are choosing it yourself. And your darkness that awaits you is darker than you've ever imagined.
Amen.
Just keep that dog licking and swallowing its vomit in your mind. That ain't going to be nothing compared to what's going to happen to you if you walk out on the light.
Come on.
It ain't God's fault. It ain't God's fault.
Amen.
Bow your heads this morning.